Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. And Daniel, good to see you.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
Doing very well, ready and raring to go.
Yes.
Solve the problems of the world. And I don't know if you believe it or not, but, you know, the Fourth Amendment's been under attack for a few years.
No.
And it looks like, you know, we saw something, you know, in the news and say, hey, maybe this is going to work. NSA is going to quit spying on us, and they don't even like now. They say, we're not even going to renew the U.S. Freedom Act, which was supposedly the authority for all this. But it turns out that 215 section, you know, is what they used, and we complained about it. It shouldn't be there. But it was almost like a distraction. It was a distraction because everybody concentrated on that, and they probably tried to use it, but they always have a backup. But I think it's so ironic and so typical, and one thing that might save us from big government is they're so inept and bureaucratic that they went and collected all these records, and they never used them. And now they say, oh, we might as well get rid of them. They were told they had to, you know, be more discretionary, so they're just going to get rid of the whole thing. Reminds me of the Bank Secrecy Act back in the 70s. They had to physically send in reports on everybody who's, you know, put $1,000 someplace, and oh, he's suspicious. But they had so many reports that they never found anybody, any drug dealers or anything. They didn't do it. So anyway, they're willing to give up on it. And the headline says, NASA kills phone spying program exposed by Snowden. Of course, Snowden should be a monument for him because of him revealing this.
Yes.
And of course, he was involved back then when I think a gentleman, I don't know if we should call him a Clapper, had to lie, oh no, we wouldn't do that. And yet he got promoted after doing that. But anyway, you know, some people look at it and they say, well, this is good. And as far as we're concerned, sure, it's good. Get rid of it. Get it off the books. But we have to be realistic. Are they really going to cut back? Are they really going to honor the Fourth Amendment and protect our privacy? And, you know, the one reason why we didn't like the Freedom Act was they were just, you know, spying on us directly. Oh, Snowden revealed it. We don't do it. So they had the phone companies do it. So the corporatism and the coalition between big government and big business put it together, and they did the spying, and I'm not doing very much good, but I'm sure the companies, whether it's social media or phone companies, they were able to use it for their business, you know, benefit. So it's big government that we're dealing with. I wish we could say, well, freedom is better protected now than ever before. The exposure, the discussion, I would say is helpful. So let's egg them on to try to let the American people know how they better keep their guard up.
And we're talking about it now because on Monday, Luke Murray, who's the National Security Advisor for Kevin McCarthy, who is the House Minority Leader, and he's one of the eight, you know, who the intelligence is shared with, he was on a podcast on Lawfare is the organization's name. He was on a podcast and he revealed that this collection of information that's done by AT&T, Verizon, the others, it had stopped. It had stopped 6 months ago, actually in June of 2018, and hadn't been restarted since then. And the NSA isn't even sure if they're going to push for the reauthorization of the Freedom Act, as you point out. That was passed again in 2015 in response to Snowden and is set to sunset at the end of the year. So everyone is claiming victory. You and I, being such horrible cynics, we immediately thought, what else are they doing? Because they're not throwing their arms up and saying, okay, we agree the Constitution is good. So that's what we're scratching our heads wondering. What else have they got?
You know, what's interesting is they do all this, but there's always this tokenism that we are obeying the law, you know. And I think of dictatorships that are about ready to, you know, execute somebody. They make them confess, and then it becomes legitimate. In this sense, they always have something to make excuses for in case they get caught. Oh, well, we have this law to do it. And actually, it's possible that they're using it right now, and they've been using it, and they've used it all along, and that comes from, you know, something a Republican president did back in 1981, and that's Executive Order 12333 under Reagan, and I never got quite what the total crisis was in 1981. Cold War was going on. But anyway, he writes an executive order that actually permits people to spy, the government to spy on people for national security purposes, of course. It was enhanced. It was made tougher with two amendments with George W. Bush. Mm-hmm. And I get to thinking, you know, Republicans aren't protecting us so well. And then I come along here and there's a new program in the midst of all this. And it says, leaked documents show U.S. government tracking journalists through a secret database. Mm. But these are bad journalists.
Oh, okay.
these are activists and journalists and people at the border. So customs are involved. We have to have a list of these potentially bad people. But this is done by the current administration. But most people say, well, they are. It's sort of like the argument they used to give me about I was opposed to the torture at Guantanamo. Well, They're terrorists. I thought they're not terrorists. And sometimes there was pretty clear evidence they were torturing kids.
Yeah.
They had nothing to do with terrorism. Anyway, I don't think we can depend on the political parties or any insiders and who knows aware of these things. Maybe it's the deep state that's able to accomplish all this with the Congress politely just ignoring it until somebody like a Snowden comes along and reveals what's happening. But it's sad because there's still a lot of people in this country say, well, they're spying on bad people. Why shouldn't we have a list of all the suspicious characters that ever came across our border? And they'll say, that means you're for total open borders, let anybody can. Of course not. But that's the political arguments that they give you.
And this whole thing about surveillance, it's almost like whack-a-mole because something pops up like the Snowden revelations, as valuable as they were, they popped up. And then the reaction was, okay, well, all of this stuff was illegal. It was outside the realm of the Patriot Act. So we have to do a reform. Our reform is the Freedom Act. And what did it do? It legalized the stuff that was illegal beforehand. So all of these different reforms. And now we're worried about 215 not being used. That pops up. It gets whacked down. And maybe they're doing 12333, the executive order. Maybe they're collecting it that way. The other things that I've seen, the possibility is that 215 isn't really that important anymore because it's no longer 2001. The terrorists aren't picking up a phone and saying, hey, let's bomb this, this thing. They're using other things. They're using secure messaging apps. They're using encrypted messages. So that might be the reason that they're moving to something else. What are they doing? Artificial intelligence. Who knows what they're doing to collect this? But the idea that they're giving up and they're supporting the Constitution, I think is hard to swallow.
Yeah, and I think there are two things to look at. What we're talking about is the executive order, the whole issue of executive orders. And if you're a true constitutionalist, the executive position, the president, not supposed to have this kind of thing. He's not supposed to write laws. And yet an executive order can take us to war. It can close down a monetary system. It can ignore balanced budgets agreements. It can do so much. Just write an executive order. So this, executive power is high on the list of problems that we have to face. But then it's also the issue of what they're doing. You know, what if the executive orders were always, do good things? The only way I could probably rationalize some of that is if you use an executive order to cancel out a bad executive order. But even to promote good legislation should not be done by an executive order. It should be done, you know, through the Congress. But right now, though, there's essentially all bad things that happen from executive orders. But the people are scared. They're made to be frightened. They know that national security is at stake. The economy is going to collapse. If we didn't bail out all the banks and the business people and the foreign governments in 2009, I just think we might have had a bad recession or something like that. So it's always a reason to panic, ignore the tediousness of going through Congress. Of course, that's what the founders wanted. They wanted it to be tedious. They didn't want it to be easy. So Congress is way too slow in this day and age. you have to have a very activist president, and he has to be very bold. And I'm just not talking about this administration. I'm talking about what we've witnessed for decades now. You know, bold presidents willing to use executive orders. And here, you know, their political statements aren't even that valuable. Here's that. This is, what, almost 40 years ago that this 42333 was, was written, and violating the Fourth Amendment. Of course, if you want to go back and look at history, you can go back and look at Woodrow Wilson and Lincoln and a few others who didn't care much about the Constitution either.
You know, it's kind of funny. You think about something like Venezuela. We want to overthrow that government because they've got a strong president who is running roughshod over their legislative body and ignoring the Constitution. It's kind of exactly what we have here. But, you know, there are some good civil libertarians. They're unfortunately few and far between. But Senator Wyden is one, and I know that Senator Paul has worked with him a lot. We even had a tweet where, that Wyden put up earlier, if we have it handy, calling for an end. He says it's time for the NSA to permanently end their phone records program. And he has a pretty good statement underneath that that people can pause. And that's great. And he's been out front for a number of years on this issue. But the problem is, and I think he even admitted, if not in this statement, in another, the problem is we can't shut down things we don't even know about. You know, none of us know, okay, we hit 215. Maybe there's something else that's so completely secret we don't even know to shut it down. It's the wilderness of mirrors.
Well, maybe we should go one step further, not just shut down NSA's phone record keeping, just get rid of the NSA. I mean, I'm for getting rid of the CIA and a lot of other things, but that monolith, the NSA, is probably just a group to cover their bases and try to make excuses for what they're doing. But we're protecting national security. You'd think people would catch on to this. Once you hear this is for national security, they ought to become very skeptical. Because their idea of national security is making sure that the international banking system is protected, that Wall Street is protected, that the bailouts are there, the military-industrial complex is protected, in making sure that deficits don't matter. That's what has to be taken into consideration. And yet, that's the details. It's much easier to deal with the emergencies, you know, right now. We have an emergency, we have to do this, we'll write an executive order. And I think we don't lose our freedoms all at one time. You know, it'd be much easier for us to understand it if a country invaded us and started systematically, you know, arresting and killing people because people would rebel. But it's this sinister attitude about, you know, just weeding out, you know, the legislation, getting rid of our rights, and we end up with this mess that we have right now. And this is representative of the lack of consideration or understanding or even caring about the protection of civil liberties and privacy. Privacy was an important thing for the founders, you know, but it's, I would say there's not much left of the Fourth Amendment, but I would say there's a lot of people that we deal with that are very interested in it, and they know that our governments for decades have overstepped their bounds, and it's not a single party that does it or a single person. It's just fights over who's in charge, you know, who's going to be punished the most.
And, you know, the government, all the government has to say is this is for national security. Like you say, people fall in line. Ironically, you know, in the time of the Soviet Union and communism, people were a lot more skeptical. They didn't believe the government. If the government said that, they knew they were lying. And sadly, we're sort of behind that. But the one other silver lining, and you mentioned earlier, are government inefficiencies. And there are millions of terabytes worth of storage in Utah that they store all this stuff. And there's just so much of it. They've had to throw up their hands and throw it out last June because they have no idea what to do with all this stuff. So that's a good thing, actually, the overkill. But I would just finally once again beat that dead horse, because we're talking about freedoms. We're talking about our constitutional freedoms here. We've got a conference coming up in Houston in May, in the spring. Houston is still pretty nice in May. It's on winning the war on drugs. And this is a big freedom. We talk a lot about negative stories here. We talk a lot about bad news stories. This is actually a good news story. We've got great speakers. We're going to tell how we are winning the war against the war on drugs. Freedom is making its way back to the U.S. on this. Prohibition is ending. And we're going to talk about how we can push it a step over the edge. So regardless of your position on narcotics, If you're pro-freedom, you're going to want to go to this conference, meet like-minded people. The tickets are very reasonably priced, and we want to get together. We want to see you, and we look forward to seeing you in May.
Very good. Paul? You know, privacy is the issue that we're talking about, and the privacy issue has come up very often in the abortion debate because that was the issue that was used to either be pro or anti-abortion. But very accurately, it was pointed out, privacy, the issue, the word privacy doesn't even exist in the Constitution. And they say, well, how can we protect privacy? Well, by property, by civil liberties, protecting people's rights. And how can you protect, even think about protecting liberty if you don't protect your privacy? That's what liberty is all about. And one of the most disgusting arguments for this, who people say, well, I don't care if they monitor my phone. I don't care if they spy on me. If I don't have anything to hide, I have nothing to worry about. Well, that isn't true because you might end up one day supporting something that you think is perfectly okay, but those in charge happen to disagree with you. Besides, there's something rather neat about privacy. You know, privacy of your own home, most people still claim that is there, which it isn't, because they can infiltrate the home through your computer, your cell phones, and everything else. So if you don't concentrate on privacy, you cannot have liberty. And therefore, issues like this are very, very important, and governments have notoriously violated privacy rights. It's just fantastic that our founders thought about this and put the Fourth Amendment in, but it's really sad that the people in this country have allowed it to be destroyed. And I would like to see a revival interest and determination to support the Fourth Amendment. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.